Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we ever deserved. And Father, we just pray that by the aid of your Holy Spirit, we could stand today with your message. And Father, that it could accomplish your will, that the lost could be drawn to your Son Jesus for an everlasting salvation. And Father, we that are saved, that we could be revived, strengthened, and encouraged by your word. And Father, that we could shine as lights in this world, that others could see Christ within us and desire the same salvation that we have through him. For Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we want to turn to the book of John, chapter 18. John, chapter 18. And in this chapter, you've got Jesus being betrayed by Judas. You've got him being taken by the Pharisees, the scribes, the rulers in Israel, because they were afraid of losing their political power, and always people with power are afraid of losing it. We see that in our own nation. We see that with the Republicans and Democrats, how they fight against people who want to return our nation to a little federal government and more rights being given to the states and everything more on a local level. More freedom and less government, as our founders intended. You see people that have their hands in the piggy bank always fighting that. And people with power always fight the truth. They like to act like they're standing for things at different times, to use people, to manipulate people, but you will know them by the fruit that they bear, which means you'll know them by their works. And that's why I tell people it's so important to watch how people vote. Don't listen to what they say, because they'll lie to you in a heartbeat. They'll say whatever you'll clap and go, yeah, 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 that sounds so good and that sounds so wonderful. Pay attention to what they do. I'll never forget just a couple years ago, somebody said, did you hear what Congressman so-and-so said about the Bible and said about this? And I said, does he hold to it? Does he obey it? Does he go by it? I said, saying one thing and what you do, those are two different things. Now, what it brings us to is truth. And see, a lot of people in Israel thought that the Pharisees and scribes, they were just the greatest religious people, and they were just the keepers of the law and all these other things, but actually they were fighting against the law. They didn't even believe they were doing that, but they were. Because they were fighting against what the law was representing. And that was that they were fighting against Jesus. They were fighting against the Word of God. I think in some part, according to Scripture, they realized it. In some parts, they didn't realize it. They didn't see what they were doing. They were just blinded by their lust for power. And it's easy for people to get that way. So they bring Jesus unto Pontius Pilate, and they're wanting him to be crucified and killed. And of course, Pilate, he decides to interrogate Jesus, ask him questions, find out where he stands. And going through all that, Jesus let him know that his kingdom wasn't of this world, and how there was a kingdom yet to come. And in verse 37 of John 18, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Spoken like many people say it in this world today, isn't it? What is truth? What's real? What's true? What is reality? You know, I got into arguments in college about this, and even some in high school with teachers, because they bring up this point. And I wish that I would have had the knowledge that I have now. And, of course, you can't go back and change things, but you know, I could have answered a lot of those questions even better than I did. I could have defended it. The more knowledge you have, knowledge gives you power, but only if you're standing upon knowledge of truth. You have to stand upon truth. Well, somebody will say, well, there's nothing that's true. Truth is relative. You know, truth is in the eyes of the beholder. No, truth is truth. You know, they're trying to change some things with Common Core and New Math and all these other things, but I hate to tell them. You know, I got a CD in my hand right now. If I take this CD and grab another CD, how many CDs do I have? I have two. See, that's truth. And it doesn't matter how you want to rework that equation, all the things. If I'm holding two CDs and I ask you, how many do I have in my hands? The answer is always two. Because it's truth that's unchanging. There's truths about the law of gravity. I mean, there's just truths about it. There's truths about seasons. You know, I tell people this. I mean, that's what I loved about mathematics when I was in school and algebra and things of this nature, is because the equation was always true. X plus Y equals Z. Or X times Y equals Z. You give me two of the variables in that equation, and I can give you what the other one is, because truth is always truth. There are some things that are just always right, wrong, good, or evil. And we like to change that up. We say we like to try to warp that and try in some intellectual way to try to distort that, but it will never change the fact that what is true is true. There are 365 days in a year. Truth. Occasionally you can get 366 on the leap year, because technically you almost have a fourth in there. But there's 24 hours in a day. There's 60 minutes in an hour. There's 60 seconds in a minute. There are some things that are just true. The sky is blue. And the sky is going to remain that, and say, well, sometimes it's gray and sometimes... No. It's actually going to be the same. There's going to be day and night. Sometimes the sky looks a little different because of cloud cover, because of nighttime or different things. But you put the light to it, it's really the same. The way this earth spins, there are realities and truth. In fact, I try to encourage people as Christians to love science. To love real science. Because real science is based upon what? Fact. Sadly, though, in our institutions of learning today, fact has become more about, let's teach theory. The theory of evolution, the Big Bang theory, global warming theory is taught as fact. The science is settled. No, it isn't. It's easy to look at the science. The founder, who actually is a science of the Weather Channel, got in an interview and they say, well, this is your opinion. And even on CNN, the CNN host, when he was given an interview a few weeks back, maybe even a couple of months ago, was saying, you know, well, this is your opinion. And he said, no, science is not opinion. And they said, well, you know, there's 80% of scientists are so often, that's not even true numbers, but nevertheless, that's what the guy was trying to say. Say that it's this way or that way. And he tried to tell him, he said, science isn't about consensus. He said, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's one scientist standing up for what's right. If fact is on his side, then he's right, and all these others are wrong. And he tried to get him to see that, and the other guy just wouldn't understand it. He wouldn't comprehend it because he rejected truth. As many people do today. And when Pilate came to Jesus, he wanted to ask him this question, what is truth? Let's get to that. Let's find out what truth is. Again, this might take more than one Sunday to delve into. But let's establish some truths. Truth is that naturally speaking, only a man and woman coming together in a union can create a child. It's a natural thing. It's a natural truth. Oh, you're just hateful of homosexuals. No, I'm not. But I want to tell them the truth, because the only way for them to repent and believe the gospel, I'm not going to force them. I will fight anybody trying to pass a law to force them to do anything. But I will also fight anybody trying to pass a law saying that marriage is between, is other than between man and a woman, because God is the one that established marriage. You want to live together in a union? You want to have the same tax benefits? You want to have the same rights? I don't have a problem with any of that. But don't try to change the definition of a word. Because it's truth that marriage was established by God, and He said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife." God established that union. Man has no authority to change the things of God. No authority. You won't have the same rights and all the same other things. If that's where your heart is really at, and that is what you want, is just to have the same tax code and just to have the same rights as other people, fine. I'll agree to that point. Because I'm not here to force you to change. But I am here to tell you that that is a sinful lifestyle. Homosexuality is a unnatural, sinful lifestyle. You want to live in it? That's your choice. Adultery is a sinful lifestyle. Lying is a sinful lifestyle. Fornication, which means any sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage. I don't care if you're engaged, that's not marriage. That is a sinful lifestyle. Gossiping, backbiting, maliciousness, racism. And I hear a lot of people trying to say that whites are the only ones that are racist. You need to study history. And I hear people saying that America is a racist country. No, it is not. You need to study the facts on that. 2% of all white people living in America during the time of the Civil War owned slaves. 2%. That means 98% of the people living in that era did not own slaves. And 2% of the free blacks living in the South, a lot of people don't think that exists, but go study history, it did. 2% of the free blacks in the South, same percentage as whites, 2% of the free blacks in the South owned slaves. And even some were funneling a pile of money on the part of the South to keep slavery. Stop trying to make it a white and black thing. Stop it. Stop letting people mislead you. Well, do you know some of the things done? Do you know some of the things that the Germans did unto the Jews? You know some of the things that the Romans did unto people that they conquered? And you could go back upon history. There's been cruelty throughout this world. And it's been done always by a small percentage of people. A lot of the Germans didn't know what all Hitler was doing. You can argue they should have known. There's things that they were willfully blinded to. You can say that even within things about slavery. There are a lot of things that people were just two doors down from, and they didn't even know what was going on. There's people in families that should have known that a child was being molested and didn't know about it. Should have, but didn't. Because sometimes we willingly blind ourselves. It is human nature. And God teaches us what? Forgive and move on. And the big problem that you should have with segregation is that the federal government aided in it. And you say, well, that makes it a racist nation. It makes people blinded to things that were even being taught in colleges and universities at the time as truth. Kind of like some of what they're doing now. Because they're teaching that right-wingers are these massive problems and all these other things. They're teaching hate now in a lot of colleges and classrooms and universities. Not everywhere. Not in every classroom. Not making that accusation. But they are teaching hatred towards Jews, towards Israel, towards Christians, towards the Constitution, towards America. They've distorted history. They're not teaching the truth of it. I have no problems talking about things in their context and pulling in those whole truths. There are some times when America violated their treaties and people banded together and said, no, this is wrong. And sometimes it would take 30, 40, 50 years to get some things back to where they needed to be to honor our word. Because the elites wanted to hold on to power. That's truth. And sometimes overcoming people that have endless resources and have judges and congressmen and senators and even presidents in their back pocket. Yes, it's hard to overcome those things. But don't say it's the whole nation. Don't say it's the whole people. Don't say it's the will of our founding fathers when their writings clearly tell you that they had a different desire for our nation than what those things were done. Go back to the root and study truth. And what you'll find sometimes is the truth is, here's a few group of people that behaved badly and did some horrible things wrong, and maybe because they had money or this person in their back pocket or different things, they got away with it for a time. But eventually, because the people desired truth and righteousness, those things came to an end. If we'd teach the truth about that, it'd make a big difference. It'd make a huge difference. And I don't want to just get off in all that side. But we get back, how do we know truth? How do we know truth? You know, in John 8, it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We also find in John 8, we find something about Satan. This is very important. In John 8, Jesus was dealing with the Jews who had totally misrepresented the Scriptures, and Jesus came to correct that. That was part of His job. There were definitely prophets that He had sent before that they had even slew and thrown in prison, done different things to, because they told the truth. And the Jewish people didn't want to hear it. And Jesus comes and He's telling them the truth. And you know, when He tells them that they need to repent and be saved, oh, no, 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 we're Abraham's seed. We're the children of Abraham. And they were basically thinking because of the race of the people who they were that they were going to be saved. Dang. Highly distorted of what the Scripture was teaching. In the New Testament, we see all that. The real heirs of Abraham are the ones that follow the faith of Abraham. And Jesus tries to teach them this in John chapter 8. And He tries to explain to them, no, you're not the children of Abraham. And you know, they go into a rant and say, we're not children of fornication. We're not born out of wedlock. We're not illegitimate. He said, you don't understand. Jesus said to them, verse 42 of John chapter 8, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." Which means they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen to it. They didn't want to hear the truth. He says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning." Of course, prophesying here of how they would murder Him. "He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He is a liar, and the father of it." Who is Satan? He's a liar. He's the father of it. Say, well, this isn't getting the truth. It is, because you need to know who the liar is to know what the truth is. Satan is a liar and the father of it. Let me say this. Some people say, you know, all religions are equal. No, they're not. I had a teacher in ninth grade try to tell me that Christians, Jews, and Muslims all serve the same God. A ninth grade teacher. Why? She was trying to teach me religion in school. Beyond me. but they do teach religion in public school. It was ruled years ago that humanism is a religion, and humanism is what is taught in public schools today. Your kids are being taught religion every day that they go to a public school. They're just being taught the religion of humanism. And if you're not countering that daily with the Word of God, you're losing. Because they are teaching them their religion every single day. But you try to tell me that we all serve the same God. I said, oh, no, ma'am, we don't. They said, we all go back to Abraham. And I said, we go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I said, you tell a Muslim that he goes back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and see his response. I said, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not only that, but my God tells me in Hebrews chapter 6 that there is something that my God cannot do. Anybody know what that is? In Hebrews 6 verse 18, it is impossible for God to lie. That's the God I serve. He's so profoundly given to truth that He says it's even an impossibility for Him to lie. He talks about truth over and over again. Go through the Proverbs and look at how many times He talks about lying lips and how God hates and He just cannot stand lying lips. God desires us to tell the truth according to the Psalms, even to our own hurt, that we keep to our word even if it hurts us. That's how much our God loves truth. Do you know what Allah calls Himself in the Quran? The Great Deceiver. He talks about how great a deceiver He is. He cannot be the same God I serve because my God says it's impossible for Him to lie. Allah says He's the great deceiver. And I don't know why anybody would follow a God that tells you up front that He's a liar. And that He's even great at it. In fact, I tell people all the time, I have no problem saying that Muhammad was a prophet. He was just a prophet of Satan, not a prophet of God. And I can back that up with the Word of God. Who does God say is the liar and the father of it? Satan. Who does Allah declare Himself to be? The great deceiver. Muhammad can't be the prophet of my God. But he can be the prophet of Satan. Because Satan is a great deceiver. And that's pointing us closer to truth. Know what truth is. Know what is real. Know what is right. How do we know these things? John 17. Jesus, wonderful passage of Scripture in John 17 because it's a prayer from Jesus unto the Father. He starts it out praying that God gets the glory through His life. And really, through His death on the cross is what He's praying for. Is that God accomplishes His will through Him in that. He also talks about preserving the apostles and what they're going to face. And then He comes and starts praying for the church today, even us. He says in verse 14, He says, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. That's why the world hates Christians today. They hate it because we uphold the truth, which is the Word of God. He says, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth? The Word of God. The Word of God is truth. How do we know what's true? We try our thoughts, our opinions, our ideas by the truth of the Word of God. That's how we do it. I can say, you know what? My wife's been really bad to me. My wife just hasn't treated me right. She hasn't given me any respect. I'm divorce her. I'm going to get some other woman on the side. when I read the Word of God, what stops me? If that was the thoughts going through my mind, and trust me, it's not. I have a good wife. I love my wife with all my heart. But say those thoughts entered my mind. See, the Word of God would try those thoughts and say, nope, thou shalt not commit adultery. And there's no clause to that. It doesn't say, don't commit adultery unless your wife doesn't treat you right. It doesn't say, don't commit adultery unless, you know, you're just not satisfied with your wife. It doesn't say any of that. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. No strings attached, no excuses. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It talks about divorce and how we're to, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It talks about things like homosexuality, to avoid fornication. What is fornication that we discussed? Any sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. Pretty plain there. Pretty plain, pretty straightforward. One man, one woman, husband and wife. That's God. That's how you avoid fornication. Everything else is fornication and sin. But we're engaged and we're going to be together, so it's all right, isn't it? To avoid fornication, let every man have what? His own wife. Let every woman have what? Her own husband. How do you avoid fornication? Marriage. Not engagement. Not we're really close and we're one day going to be married. Marriage. See, the truth sets those boundaries. It sets those guidelines. It sets what is real. What is right. What is wrong. Thou shalt not murder. Is that what the Bible says? That we're not to commit murder? I can show you scriptures about self-defense and different things on those lines, and even a time of war. But murder. Well, you don't know how bad they've upset me. And talk about forgiveness. I could go down a list of things. What is truth? Thy Word is truth. How do we know truth? Through the authority of God's Word. He goes on, and sanctify means set them apart. To be a set apart people. That's what sanctify means. How are we sanctified? By the Word of God. By holding to it. By living by it. By following it. He says in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Talking about the church. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He was praying even for us today. How do I know what's right? How do I know how to be a good husband? How do I know how to be a good father? How do I know how to be a good neighbor? How do I know how to be a good citizen? How do I know how to be a good minister? Preacher of the gospel. It's through the truth of God's word. That's how I know it. It's not by what I say or what you say. Any man saying anything, doesn't matter how smart he is, how many degrees he has, or all things else. It's man's opinion. But God's Word is not man's opinion. It's the inerrant, inspired Word of God. Holy, without fault, without blemish. You want to know what truth is? Dig into the Word of God. We'll deal with this more next week, and I pray that it could be a blessing and encouragement to us as we go forward with this work. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-544-7920. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this simple message, use it to Your honor and glory for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give You the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.